We want to make you, for now, we want to make you work with, on top of Peter Fest. Because Peter Fest is supposed to match your different memory, and it is supposed to use a positive processing interface. Meaning that they're supposed to handling localizing via IOS, you could potentially either rewrite the file or create a file and memory map it and use it as this. And then instead of doing a series of a bunch of writes to achieve consistency, you can do a series of days followed by memory fence operations to make sure that the data is actually in memory.
Memory fence, you mean fsync, msync?
Right.
Depending on which interpreter you're using.
Msync, to make sure that the data is there.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're using the file interface of PMFS, you would use fsync.
Or I can use msync if I memory map the file, right? So that's the high-level goal. So now, since we're no longer using a block device as a backend, there are many things that we either have to change or get rid of completely. Like, for instance, we no longer need to do block-aligned writes, right? Potentially, we don't have to have chunks anymore, because chunks is mainly an optimization for block devices in which you do get a performance gain by doing large sequential writes and reads.
That's one reason for chunks.
Right. So here, it would probably make sense just to manage everything at the page and level. So we could potentially make the chunk the size of the page, or just get rid of the chunk concept altogether.
Yeah, the other reason for the existence of the chunk was to keep track of permissions of memory regions. We mapped and put it read-only in chunk granularity, so we fault just once per chunk.
Right.
If you go to a lower granularity, you will fault more. Just to keep track of what you're drifting and what you're...
That's true. But as you were mentioning when I pointed that to you as well, it's because you're doing that at chunk granularity because your writes are at chunk granularity as well.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that if we go to a page granularity, we will have more faults. That's all.
That is true.
Because it's one per page instead of one per chunk.
That is true.
Yes. Yeah, the only thing is that if we maintain dirtiness at the granularity of chunk, every write operation must occur at the granularity of chunk.
Mm-hmm.
By write here, we mean...
copy and write.
Right, the copy and write.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So here, we're going to have maybe more metadata if we go at the granularity of the page.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the latency of operations is a lot slower.
But with the conventional soft PM for disk, we already have metadata at the granularity of a page, right?
No,
we already maintain
the
chunk. Everything is like granularity of a chunk.
Every piece of metadata? What about the page table?
Well, the thing that we call a page table is basically a slab allocator. I don't know if you remember that, but I've been reading the code recently. It's basically a bunch of metadata to know where your objects of a given size are stored. That's basically what the page table is. So you can think of it as a mechanism to allocate objects of an arbitrary size. And of course, because these objects are in persistent memory, you have to store enough metadata to know where to find this, to know how to find these objects. That's basically what the page table has become. Out of course version of SoftPM, that's basically what it is.
In the in-core version of SoftPM, the page table was an actual page table, right? Because we wanted to maintain a contiguous virtual address space in Lima, and we wanted to create it using pages, and the only way to do it, create such a contiguous virtual address space, is through the use of page tables.
Yes, in the in-core version, we didn't have contiguous chunks. In the out-of-core, we made all the pages of a chunk contiguous, so we can pull map them all together.
Right, and then maybe the page table is not. But how do we keep track of where what chunks are and where they are located?
we have different trees.
We have metadata associated with that. So we have some trees that we query or want to know where the given chunk, where the given chunk is mapped in memory.
By the way, now we have this. This persistent memory is more like an in-core version. It's more because it's
not necessarily.
It's persistent.
Right, but then it doesn't have to be mapped. Right?
Doesn't have to be mapped, but everything is in physical core.
That is true, yes.
So,
but it doesn't have to be mapped, so maybe it's worth having the out-of-core, maintaining the out-of-core characteristic or versions of pain as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's not worth it. Maybe it is. By the way, the
out
of core
is simpler than in core.
The out of core code, it handles both cases. It's basically a flag. You say, I want to do the separation. I want to do my restore out of core or in core.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
When we implement out of core, we create a flag, and after that, the in core version also use continuous jump.
Yes.
We just move everything to a continuous chunk and put a flag for
the in-core version continues to use page tables.
We have two branches. We have an old branch, which is the main core, the one that we used to submit the paper, which has an old base code where we didn't work more after that. Then we created the out-of-core branch. And in that branch, one of the first things that we did was to create chunks where all the pages were contiguous. We develop all the infrastructure to handle out of core, and once we had that, we just created a flag for bringing everything when we were restoring to emulate what we were doing before in core. But pretty much there are two different versions of PN. The previous in core one is old and it's not that, it doesn't have all the features and bug fixes that we did.
I see. Well, I guess my question is, do we still use the base tables in the new version or the in-core subversion?
It's used as...
We do, but it's no longer a page table. It has become immutated into a slab allocator.
Yes, the thing is that each page in the chunk had some attributes that said what was the size of the object, right? And some bitmap saying how much of those objects were used.
Right.
And that's how...
At the last level of the page table...
Mm.
You have entries that has
pointer to
the size of the allocation, has a pointer to the page and a bitmap.
Mm.
And the bitmap has a fixed size
because
the minimum size of allocation that we can put in the page in the database is 8 bytes.
Mm.
So it will be 4k divided by 8 as the size of your
bitmap.
Mm. And then, of course, the size tells you you can make the allocation bigger than a page, in which case you specify that in the size and you know that you have more than one page of data. And that's basically the idea, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
So, of course, we have two memory allocators. One that handles you pages that are always contiguous. Remember the page allocator. And then the other one, which is the one, the stub allocator, which is used to do allocations
in the
persistent area. The other one, the one that's generic about pages, if you remember that we had a distinction between two types of chunks, data and metadata. That one, you can say, I need 3 pages of data, or I need 1 page of metadata. And it will find the whatever chunk is available and give you the address of the page. Or if no chunk is available to meet the request, and it will create a new one and give you the pointer.
I see. To me, it seems like actually, it's the first version of whatever we are doing should be chunk-free, because the concept of a chunk was introduced primarily to deal with block I/O devices. And if we take the approach of, well, let's make this work the existing design using chunks, then I'm concerned that we might be stuck with some legacy code that would be very hard to get rid of later on. I don't know what you guys think. I don't see a reason for why you might want to have chunks anymore larger than a page. If you want to make the chunk size of a page to make things easier, well, that's fine with me. But the chunk loses its identity, right? It doesn't serve any new purpose beyond a page.
That's true.
Well, unless Jumbo Page could be implemented as a chunk.
You mean machine Jumbo machine pages?
Yeah, I don't know if those Noble storage devices will support Jumbo pages. Or maybe they don't, so a way to emulate Jumbo pages would be to use a chunk of as many pages.
It's not about non-volatile memory supporting Jumbo pages, it's just about the machine supporting
with you.
Large pages. Yeah. And the OS supporting large pages, right? But even those are pages, they're just different kinds of pages. They all have the exact same size, right? They're just much larger than the small page size.
Well, but one of the things that I think we could do with SoftVM was to specify different chunk sizes for different containers. I don't remember if that was the case.
No, I think the chunk sizes are fixed. Oh, per container, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So maybe that's still useful. Maybe you will have to, you will want to have Jumbo page or some size of chunk for one application, whatever you want.
Maybe, but I see that more as a version 2 of whatever we are doing. We may or may not need it. And before we go into more details, I think at a high level, one more point that you need to bear in mind is that the current version of SoftVM that you're trying to create for PMFS is just, what should I say, it's just one step of the process. But eventually, we would also want to support persistent memory regions as backends for containers.
Yes.
And which is not going through PMFS, and that has a different interface that Arthur and Russell are working on.
Right, but in that case, so in the version of SoftVM, the component that makes the allocations at the granularity of a page is the only one that we have to make changes to, either to talk to PMFS or the non-volatile memory manager. Everything else remains the same. Because the slab allocator, it's built on top of that one, and then all the other metadata and everything else is also making requests to this module that allocates at the granularity of the page.
Which right now does just an mbap, right?
Which right now, what it does is... is it an mbap? No, you do a malloc, I think.
No, to the OS?
Yes. You will have to be an mmap on the file descriptor where we open the container.
And then do a write?
No, a restore.
Okay, right. Well, you're talking about this new version or the previous version of SoftVM?
The only version that we have in SoftVM, the one that we have, the out-of-core version. I think the way that we allocated pages was through a mmap.
But this thing has to be a map, right?
It has to be.
Why?
Or else break. Because the OS cannot understand malloc.
Oh, no. The only reason why it has to be in map is because we're making writes that are block aligned.
Exactly.
That's the only reason.
But OS doesn't understand this break either.
When
you do mmap,
we're user space, remember?
What?
We're in user space.
Yeah, but you can use malloc, but using malloc is inefficient for 4K pages.
Yes.
And that's an additional level of metadata that you don't need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we were using mmap.
But the mmap was because of the writes were block aligned. And we're making everything block aligned.
No,
yeah, allocation, not
because when we were restoring, we were mmapping from the device.
No. The restore operation is by using regular reads operation. So you allocate a buffer that happens to be allocated using a map, but there's no need for that. You perform a read and you read from the block device to that buffer.
Why do we do that?
Because that's how we did it.
Because because we wanted to maintain a copy, yes. But we could have do a map
private.
Are you sure that we didn't do that?
I am sure that we didn't do that.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not that efficient. We are maintaining two copies of the pages, one in the page cache and the other one in.
And not only that, we are also, we have multiple data structures that have set two representations, the one in disk and the one in memory.
The thing is that we have to maintain copies that are not in the page cache. Because as we modify them, we don't want the page cache to flush stuff out to the container.
Yeah, but if we map it private, we could use the same copy as we didn't modify.
If we did not modify it.
Exactly.
Yes.
That would be the advantage of using the map, right?
But so, does it make sense what I said about just having to modify or replace the page allocator?
Because also, what are the operations? You want to look at the operations that interface with the OS and then evaluate if all of those operations, the rest of the operations stay the same?
Well, with the OS, we have mProtect. Every time that we want to map chunk with a specific
handler
permission, like read-only or not read-only even, or read or write or read-write. We have several mprotects that they got triggered with every handler. When we have page fault handler, the page fault handler will do mprotects to fix the chunks. Apart from that, we had the writes when we were creating the checkpoint, the reads when we were restoring.
Right.
Pretty much that.
See, what about the sync? Is there any sync operation?
Syncs, yes. at the end of the checkpoint.
Yes. You write synchronously.
Well, write it synchronously?
No, it's synchronous, but in a separate thread.
I mean, it's just a write with an fsync at the end. So you have several asynchronous writes. Because we wrote every... We did a write per chunk, so they all go to the page cache, and then at the end, we do a sync to send it to the disk.
So here, how does the copy and write solution work?
We created a copy.
No, not with the block device, but with PMFS. How, with persistent memory, how would the copy and write work?
We have a copy and write in SubPM.
In SubPM as well?
I know, but I'm saying... How, here you don't have a distinction between memory and storage, right? Because memory is storage. So whenever you update something in persistent memory.
I guess that the memory that we allocate to.
Let's say a page that we allocate.
Right. Say a page that you have data and it's clean, and you try to update that, and we want to do copy and write.
I have one question. We are supporting versions or not? Because if we're supporting versions, then we don't want to modify the current.
We want to do copy and write, and even if we're not aiming for versioning now, because we know that's a good feature to have.
No, what I'm saying is that if we're supporting versioning, we will always do copy and write.
But even for this implementation, we want
to
do.
We will have to do copy and write anyway.
Right.
Because we cannot allow modification of the original because it's persistent.
Right.
But one thing the copy and write default system will do for you, if such exists, and the other thing is the one that we need to do because we need to maintain different versions.
Now, we are talking about the copy and write to avoid applications making updates to persistent memory. So imagine that you have some persistent memory pages mapped into process address space. If you want, you make some updates to the page, and then you do a flush, right, with the equivalent to a flush in this new version. If you crash before you do a flush, the content of the persistent page should be the same as before you started doing this update.
Yeah, my point was, if we're doing this just because of that and not because of versioning, that should be a feature that the file system is providing us. Or it could be implemented, yes.
Why?
Because
you mean an atomic
exactly.
interface to the file system? Yeah, that's a different file system. We don't have that yet.
But I'm mentioning it because since you said that the future plan is to move to this memory region interface where that is implemented, then it doesn't make sense to implement it in SoftPM.
That's right. So that's why I'm saying we need to think about not just PMFS, but also the future and how that might be a big change between these two endpoints.
But if we are going to have different versions, we need that in SoftPM.
Yes.
So then it makes sense to think one
version. Well, if we have different versions, the other possible, well, even the interface, the region system interface that we have, has a clone interface inside it. So it could also be supported by the OS. But let's not worry about versioning at the moment. Let's stick to non-version containers and how changing the backend from PMFS to region system would change SoftPM implementation. I think the copy and write may not have to be done if you're using the region system interface. I think you don't need to do it, because the region system already provides an atomic p-sync operation, right? Whereas the PMFS doesn't.
But that would only make things simpler for us, right? I mean, moving from this version in which we manage the copy and write to a version in which the copy and write is managed by the non-volatile manager, the only thing that it would do, at least what I can think of now, is just simplify the whole thing. Just the path to this, you don't have to take care of any of that.
The other thing which I wanted us to check is if PMFS has any notion of sync operations or atomic commit operations.
If they have atomic MSync.
If they implement atomic MSync.
We're going to need to check that.
But if they do, then you don't need to implement this copy and write mechanism for PMFS either.
Atomic MSync. Oh, you mean that they're internally doing the copy and write themselves?
Well, couldn't you just emulate that by delaying extremely the pdflush daemon? Just put in an hour of
delaying.
So every time that you do sync, you assume that pdflush never.
But the sync is not atomic, right? That's the problem.
Oh, and once you start, you need to finish.
So let's find out about whether there is any atomic behavior in PMFS.
Right, I need to check, but I highly doubt it.
Okay, let's for now, let's assume that it does not have the atomic sync behavior. Then you would need to maintain copies, copy and write behavior, copy and write copies of memory similar to what we have in SoftPM right now. But then the question is, where do those copies get stored?
I would say that these extra pages that we allocate to handle the copy and write, maybe they should be from volatile memory.
Remember that when we were creating copy and write, the copy that we were writing was the copy. The original had to be the same, because if not, you need to fix pointers. So if you move it to volatile, you need to fix pointers. Or map whatever base you're creating about that to the same matters.
That's true.
We what you're saying is we modified the original and kept the copy as is. The copy was the
copy was the one that we were writing to the
function. Yeah, that both of them need to be persistent. Here's the reason why. The original needs to be persistent because that's the only copy we have. Correct?
Correct.
The modification needs to be persistent as well, or at least at some point, because once you start... If you start copying from volatile to persistent, that whole thing needs to be atomic.
That's true. That's true. We're going to have partial updates. Right, but then if we play this game, that means that assume that these pages that we're updating, they are part of an array that needs to be contiguous. Then I'm going to have to spend a lot of time fixing the mapping of these pages in the process address space so that they appear to be contiguous for the application. Is that clear?
Why the?
No, the original is the original location in the virtual address space. What you modify?
Yes.
You create copies of the data that's unmodified.
Right, but what I mean is the following.
As we did in Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
You have this is a virtual address.
Mm-hmm.
This is physical.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you have these three pages.
Yeah.
There are maps here.
Yeah.
And you make an update of this page.
Mm-hmm.
So you do a copy and write. You have to allocate a physical page to do this. Let's say that it's this page, the one that gets allocated.
That's persistent as well.
That is persistent as well.
Yep.
And so here, let's call this 0, 1, 2. This will be 1, and this becomes 1 prime.
Yep.
Right? If I, for some reason, fail to complete the update, because I'm not only changing this page, but some other pages.
Yeah.
So I need to roll back to the previous version because it was when the whole system was persistent.
Yep.
Was consistent.
Mm.
I need to, when I map this again, I need to map it like this.
Yes.
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Of course, this doesn't have
no,
to be
no.
here. It could be anywhere, but...
No, this line was just the page.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It means this is one page, another page, and this page. Because for the application, these have to appear contiguous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
What it means is that you need to maintain a page table with where the pages are located. And when you create the copy, you need to do that change atomic. And with that page table, you can always go back and map. Whatever you had.
You either do that, or if you do not complete it, you copy the original back into this location. It's like you copied it out, you could copy it back, and then you don't have to mess with the page table or whatever mapping you need.
But that means that I have to keep all...
That's
probably
easier. Not that efficient, because you will have a copy.
But that happens only on failure.
Copy it for free, right?
On failure, you can pay additional cost to recover. That's fine.
And you can do the copy and free this again.
Yep. So going back to the soft VM modifications, I think the slab allocator stays right as is because we need to support that. Creating a container would require, and assuming that we still go with the file per container model, PMFS file per container, or a region in the region system, region per container model. And allocating a new container would mean allocating a new file in PMFS. Allocating pages within the container, what does that require? That might, how do we create, in PMFS, we need to write to a certain location before we can map that area of the file, right?
We need to write a certain location before we can map to...
Yes,
you need to
you
expand
to
the file.
You need to allocate, and the way to allocate in a file system is to write to that location.
No, you can do... There's a system call that allows you to expand the size of the file.
Yeah.
In the tail.
I see, okay. How do you do that?
I forgot the name, but I remember using that in
location
IO. You have a file, and then you expand it, and then you can memory map it.
Okay.
I think the content of the file there is unspecified. It could be series, or it's up to the file system to fill it up.
Now, with PMFS and it's not true for the region system, because the region system keeps a mapping of pages to locations inside the region. But with PMFS, the SoftPM library will have to keep track of which pages inside the file are used and which ones are not. I guess that information needs to be there anyway. At least we need to be able to map a virtual address within a container to an offset within a file. We need to be able to do that. So we have that.
Could you repeat that again, please?
That is on the seed layer.
No, we don't have any SID anymore.
That's not SID layer anymore.
But that was in the SID layer.
That was in the SID layer. It should be also in the LIMA layer, I think.
Well, we have in
we
the
have
LIMA layer
forward
we have,
mapping.
From virtual address space to LIMA.
Yeah. So LIMA is the file space now.
Yes.
Yes. LIMA was
and as before we assumed that we can take it as well.
Yeah. Now the only thing is that here you have forward mapping that some page inside the container gets mapped to some page within the file, but once we start freeing up the page, we need to keep track of what pages inside the file. Now the file gets fragmented, we need to reuse.
I just remember
pages.
What happened. It's the thing that in our SoftPM, we didn't have file per container. We have file per SoftPM. We just open the device and...
Yes.
And all the containers work together in the file. So we have just one address space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. One file address space for all the containers.
So in this case, I don't think we have to have the limitation of making the container a fixed size. It could grow indefinitely.
Yeah.
Which means that we cannot handle free space with bitmaps. I guess it becomes a pain in the butt. Because
well,
that's what we use.
Have,
why not?
You can have several bitmaps. Bitmaps per sections, and you keep a pointer on when is your end of file. So if you move the end of file, then you allocate more bitmaps.
I was thinking more of having maybe a tree with the pages that I'm using, and a free list, and a list of free pages. Because I need to have a tree anyway to do lookups fast. And whenever I free memory from that tree, because the pages are going to be... I'm going to be allocating it from the first to the end. So I might have some free here, which means that I have to do a lookup in the tree, remove that, and then add it to the list of free pages right there.
Mm.
Which means that I can find free pages quickly, in constant time, and I can do lookups fast as well.
Well, removals won't be that fast. You need to look up and insert in the list. In an order.
That's log n. N being the size of the file and pages.
But the insertion of the list, you will maintain an order list, right?
Doesn't have to be ordered.
Or you will always insert in the head.
Doesn't have to be ordered.
Isn't it's a list of free pages?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to be ordered.
You can just put it
if
in the head.
You always put it in the head, then you will always reuse the one that you just free.
That's fine. We will have to consider different policies if this physical number and memory
is getting fragmented,
is gutted or wear out or something like that.
BMFS, you might have a situation where let's say you have a bunch of free pages at the end of the file.
Okay.
Could potentially truncate the file.
Yes.
But if you start using those free pages, whereas there are additional free pages in the initial portion of the files, but you're only using the free pages at the end of the file, then you'll never be able to truncate the file.
Right. I'm not really worried about that, because in the worst case scenario, we might be able to write in a small application that defragments the file, something like that.
Or just orders the list.
Now that you're talking about freeing, have you discussed anything about the problem that we have with SoftPM? That we move things from Lodal to persistent and we never move it from persistent to Lodal back?
Well, I haven't thought about that, honestly. And in this initial version, I'm not even going to have discovery or anything like that. It's just playing allocations in persistent memory and that's it.
Okay.
Once I'm confident that's working fairly well, then I will start adding pointer add and things like that. So I can fix pointers and move stuff around and eventually the closure.
That makes sense. Yeah, in the moment of the closure is when we need to worry about
right.
moving back to a DAO if it's no longer reachable.
You know, what's funny about the science of pain, and I realized this when I was reading the code recently now, is that we require that the root structure is the first allocation that you make in the container.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hidden requirement for us. If you allocate something else before that, then you're not going to get the first page. And when we restore, exactly what we return is the point of the first page. Without thinking about it too much.
No, wait. When we're restoring, you assume that you want to restore the root. That's the first thing that you want to do.
You're assuming that the first allocation that you made was the root structure.
Not necessarily. Why?
Look at the code.
If you have previous allocations and you mark it with malloc and pointer at, then you allocate there.
When you restore, you don't know what's in there, right? The only thing that you know is the structure of the root structure.
Yes.
Right? So that is always in the first page because you're always allocating that as the first object within
yes.
the container.
Yes.
If that is not the case, when you restore, when I'm going to give you back, without
yeah,
thinking about it, it's a point to the first data page.
But that doesn't mean that the application needs to first allocate a container. It only means
that
when the persistent point is created, the first thing that you will move is the container. Which doesn't mean the same as the
no,
first thing that you allocate.
What I'm saying is that if you restore, I'm going to give you the point to the first data page, and if that is not the root, the root
it will
start,
be always the root.
No, because I make the allocation for the root object as a second allocation.
But it doesn't matter because when you loop key point, you go to the root, and from there you do discovery.
P point.
Key point is our function to do the checkpoint.
Oh, the flush.
So the yes, all the locations, the order doesn't matter. At the moment that you flush, you will go to the root and start discovering everything else.
No, the order does matter because the way you walk the page table, which is a slab allocator, is in order.
Oh, you mean the persistent allocations? Yeah, but. In SoftPN, you don't have persistent allocation. You only allocate the root and the rest is marked. The persistent allocations are done at the time of discovery.
That's not necessarily true. That is just a convenience for existing applications to adopt the solution for SoftPN
yes.
easier.
Well,
I'm writing a new application from scratch and I want to use a SoftPN library, I don't have to do the discovery. I can allocate directly to persistent memory. If the first thing that I allocate is not a root structure, I'm screwed.
Okay.
No, but I think when you create a container, you have to specify a pointer to the root structure, right?
Yeah, that was the function too.
When you create a container?
When you create a container, it's when you create the root structure.
Yes.
You have to specify a pointer to the root structure when you create a
yeah,
container.
Yeah, we have pre-create and pre-restore, and both do the same.
You move to pc-get.
Well, that thing that does both things, it returns the root
oh,
structure.
Yes.
Container
yes.
create will... take root structure, root pointer as an argument.
What you're asking there, yeah. That is
yeah, so
true.
You cannot allocate anything before creating the container. And when you create the container, you have already the root structure. So you're safe.
Yes, that's a good catch. How can you remember that? Okay. So, are we convinced about the feasibility of this design?
Well, we've been talking about the design fairly arbitrarily. We don't have a document or anything of that sort. We don't know if we've covered all the questions. But I think for an initial discussion, this is fine, and it's okay for you to start implementing stuff at this point. And at some point, it might be a good idea to start documenting some of the interface. And I don't know if we need to document the changes. Maybe it would be a good idea to also document the changes that we are making.
This is because
eventually,
right?
If we do write a paper, it might help to discuss the changes since the block-based SoftVM implementation.
I see. Okay.
This is a new fork of the project. It's not in the same folder, right? Same repository.
It's completely new. In fact, I plan to start from scratch and move stuff around as I need.
Because we also wanted, at some point, to finish SoftPN with the rest of functionality.
Yes, I would. Ideally, we should submit a paper with Out of Core and... Hey, Jason.
I guess you're
No, we are done. Out of the Out of Core and versioning implementation, we should submit something.
Oh, we could work on that. Because I remember that's pretty much done. All we need is just to, as always, find a good evaluation.
Yeah.
And implement the switch operation, but that was...
Alright, so, yeah. So, Leo, why don't you work on the implementation at least initially, and if you run into any issues, we'll have another meeting like this.
Yeah? Sounds good. I think I'm going to start with the page allocator that expands the files and things like that.
Okay.
I think that's needed for everything else.
Yeah. And, you know, bear in mind that the region system is the more likely final endpoint for this implementation. PMFS is only, what should I say?
Temporary sandbox?
Yeah, exactly. Or until the other thing becomes available.
Okay,
all
sounds right. Good.
Okay. All right, see you guys.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. How's it going, Jason?
Hello.